Oh, Nikki, you there? We seem to be having a little bit of trouble with this phone line. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop a song on really quickly from King Giz and the Wizard Lizard, clean up this phone line a bit and get back to you. Just hold on 2 seconds, everybody. Giz and the Lizard Wizard. It's called Deserted Dunes, Welcome Weary Feet. I love that song. We'll play the rest of it for you in a tick first, though. I want to talk to Dr. Nikki Goldstein. She is a sexologist. She's here to talk to us about contraception and all sorts of wonderful things. Nikki, are you there?
Yes.
There we go.
Yay!
Technology.
Congratulations.
Technology never wants to work on a Sunday morning. It wants to stay in bed like all the rest of us.
So, brain.
Now, Dr. Nikki, I want to kick things off this morning by asking you exactly what is kind of sexology? What's this world that you have found yourself working in?
Well, it's not sex therapy, because I think a lot of people have this assumption that I take clients.
Mm.
And my motivation to get into this was to educate people. So sexology is the umbrella term, and underneath that, and sexology is the scientific study of sex, you could be a sex therapist, you could be a sex researcher. I choose to be a sex educator.
Wow.
So I aim to use the media and, you know, mass populations to be able to get those messages out there. So whether it's TV, radio, writing books, writing articles, my aim is always, can I put some ideas out there? Can I put some information out there that might make you think, or you might be able to take that back into your own life and get some use out of it?
This is absolutely fascinating stuff, in my opinion. And I guess it would be quite frustrating for people to think kind of that you do take clients or that you are more of a sex therapist when really you just want to educate people.
Well, I think it's the narrow-mindedness of when we talk about anything to do with sex. Because we're not having a lot of discussions, we just go to the one thing. You know, we're automatically just going down that linear model of, yes, this is the same thing if someone said to you they were a sex worker.
Mm.
You would probably think specific things about them, which they're not. So this is a problem, is when I say sexologist, people are going to assume that I either do something or I even add something. A lot of people are surprised and they say to me, oh, but you're quite elegant and classy for a sexologist.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Like, saying, well, what, and a sexologist should be immoral and slutty and
leather-clad walking down the street at 9 in the morning.
Exactly. Or they think that I'm swinging from the chandelier every weekend and having orgies. And it's like, no, I'm actually working and, you know, plugging through life just like you are. But I happen to have this really cool job where I get to talk about sex in all sorts of mediums.
It is a really cool job, and it's a really important job as well, because as you said there, it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. It's something that's very much shrouded in taboo. What we're talking about this morning is some research done by Galaxy Research, commissioned by MSD Australia, that has found that kind of a bunch of people are experiencing unintended pregnancies kind of due to a lack of education around contraception.
This is something that I've become really passionate about, because I am a woman, and I am a woman that explores contraceptive, and through my life, you know, it's been a journey. And it really baffled me that so many women are not empowered about this and considering it, that we're just having this conversation where we go to a doctor and we ask for one thing, where we're not actually taking the time to have a look at what works for me and what works for my body. We're not even taking the time to go and research it. And that's why, you know, I love the website Contraceptive Match, because at least there is a resource out there that you can trust and say, okay, I can get onto one website. I know that the information is going to be correct. And it's there in a way that you're able to have a look at, okay, what's going to work for me? Because one of the unfair things about being a woman is that there is no perfect option. You know, there isn't anything that's not potentially going to have side effects, or, you know, something that doesn't sound a little bit scary when you read about it. So you really have to take that time to have a look at, well, what works for you and your lifestyle, What are your future plans for a family? You know, what are you comfortable with? So then instead of going to the doctor and saying, I'd just like this, or, you know, I'd like to go on some contraceptive, you can have that conversation from an educated point of view. You know, oh, I was reading about this particular thing. You know, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Or, you know, I really like this option, but I'm a little bit concerned about these side effects. Can we have a conversation around that? So then you enter that arena as an educated person, and so you should be when it's your own body. You know, this is your body and it's you that you're putting at risk. So you should be the one to take more control over that and be able to drive that conversation instead of being told what maybe one doctor is just used to giving to people.
And I think you're 100% nail on the head there. Through education comes empowerment. And that's really such an important thing these days. Why do you think it is that people have this lack of understanding? Is it an embarrassment? Is it kind of the social taboos that surround a lot of these things, you think, that's driving this lack of education?
Well, I think it's a lot to do with embarrassment and lack of education, but we need to think about why we have that lack of education. Because when you look at sex education, it's only given such a small time, you know, when we're growing up. And, you know, a lot of the syllabus we have to question, you know, they're trying to put a lot into that small amount of time. You know, we're talking about condoms and we're talking about where do babies come from and our body. And these days we're talking about sexting and cyberbullying and all of that as well, that how much time are we actually giving to contraceptives? You know, are we actually having conversations around that? Or maybe it's just a breeze through, you know, one syllabus in one of the classes we're talking about the different options available.
Absolutely.
So that's the problem, is that we just don't have, you know, enough time when kids are growing up to be able to put in adequate sex education that includes our sexual health as well. So, you know, that comes down to that question of, well, what do we do about it? Is it up to the school's responsibility? Is it up to the parents' responsibility? And I do think it's a combination of both, but thanks to technology, we have this avenue to educate. So this is where I think it's really important that we start exploring these ideas of, can we create websites? Can we create apps? But can we then link that into homes? Can we encourage parents to say to their kids, hey, I heard about this fantastic website, I've heard about this fantastic app, let's go through it together. Because another one of these problems is a lot of parents don't know the information either, and they get very embarrassed about talking about kids. So you can see how that dialogue just never gets stressed.
It's a vicious cycle.
Adulthood.
Yeah.
You reach adulthood, who's sex educating you now besides me?
Exactly. I went to Catholic school. I learned about two types of contraception, condoms and abstinence, and that was it. So,
you know, that's not always that's the thing, is that going to be the best option for you?
Exactly.
Wouldn't you have liked to have known what else was on offer?
Exactly. How would you suggest people go out there and educate themselves? Is it going online to that website you mentioned before? Is it having conversations with people?
Well, I think it's a combination of a few things. So, yes, definitely it's important to jump onto line with something like Contraceptive Match and start having a look at things that sound good to you, maybe some things that appeal to you. But then I do think it's important to have conversations not only with your doctor but also with friends as well. And this is what baffles me as women, is I don't think that, you know, we're very good at talking, but maybe we're not talking about the right thing. Because wouldn't it be great to be able to discuss with your friends as well, and whether that's to get information off them, maybe they've tried something, but also encourage them to go out and have a look at their contraceptive options. Have they been on the same thing for the last 5 years and they've never questioned that particular role in their life? You know, are they just going along thinking that's their only option? So if we start to have these conversations around, oh, hey guys, I was on this website, or, you know, I went to the doctor and I got really frustrated because I just don't know which one to choose for me, it might prompt other people to go, actually, I've never really readdressed what I'm doing, and maybe I could be doing something different that's better suited for my lifestyle as well.
Crowdsource this information. I love it. It sounds great. Now, this study and a lot of what we've spoken about this morning is focusing very heavily on women as providing the methods of contraception used kind of today. Do you think there needs to be more emphasis on men and what they can do when it comes to contraception?
Yes, but we don't have the same options available for men as we do have for women. And I think at the end of the day, it's our bodies, and we should be more empowered to look at what we want to do for our bodies. So
absolutely.
I do think it's important in your relationship that guys get up to scratch as much as women, because if you're sharing your life with somebody and this is a thing that's going to be affecting the both of you, then get your partner involved. Jump on the website with him, asking questions about, how do you feel about this and how do you feel about that? The million-dollar question is always, well, should you be getting your partner to pay for your contraceptive? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, if it's something that was really expensive, then you couldn't afford it, then yes, you might want to look at that. But these days, normally that there are options that are affordable. But I think it's important that we include our partners in this discussion, because it's good to have that other brain. And that other brain is somebody that we choose to be in a relationship with, we choose to have sex with, and the consequences are something that's going to be affecting them just as much as us.
Absolutely. Dr. Nikki, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on this morning and educating us all.
Thank you for having me. And I'm glad we worked the second time round.
I'm glad so too. Thanks, Nikki. Have a good day.
Thanks.
That was Dr. Nikki Goldstein there, a sexologist, giving us some relationship advice when it comes to kind of contraception and the conversations surrounding contraception. Really important stuff there. We'll pop some links on the podcast at the end of the show to scr.com/weekendbreakfast. I feel very empowered to go out and learn a lot about contraception right now.